Gary Farmer joins us now. Welcome, Gary.
Thank you so much.
Well, we're really excited to have you here. You're in town for the 20th anniversary of Smoke Signals, and also you're going to be doing a talk here at UMD. And you're one of those people, as I was preparing for this interview, who has done so many things and lived so many lives, almost, it seems like.
Mm.
And one of them is acting. One of them is doing media, Native American media. And then music is another life that you have lived and continue another thing that you continue to pursue, right?
Well, they're all related, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my mind, they are.
How so?
Well, you know, as a young person, I learned about acting first. So then I became an actor, and I was probably the only Indian in the circle. And so then I saw how everything works, really, both professionally on stages and also for television, and how television is made and how it's sent out to the world. I learned that. Because we were never included as a Native person, I was always outside. Even though I became the professional performer, I was still outside in terms of the radio, in terms of the television production, in terms of the stories that were on TV. I only serviced them at a certain level, never got any depth of level. So then I began to think, well, how do we get the depth? How do we change things for ourselves as Indigenous people? How do I make stories that are my folks can hear, you know? So that began the journey to begin to make that happen.
Okay. And so that is what led you to the media part?
Yes. First I started with publishing because it got to the point where I realized that all of our things were taken from us, everything, besides the land and the obvious things. You know, our languages and, you know, it got to that everything was taken, even our stories. You know, they would dramatize our lives back to us, and the lives were things that they would never do.
Mm-hmm.
They would never have to lay down that form of emotion for a story. Their stories were more uplifting and trying to modify somebody's legacy in the world before them, even though their legacy was really dark.
Mm-hmm.
They had enough money to clarify their legacy for themselves. And so I really took that seriously, that why are you not including us first? And you can actually talk about us with French and English, but when it comes to us, we're not equal. And so as an actor, as I began to become a better actor, I suppose, or more successful at acting, that was also challenging for all my peers because they knew how to help me, but they didn't know when I became their equal, it was challenging for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up with a life like that. And then to think of my own people who were nowhere I've been, so to speak, you know, in the profession and seeing all this. And then trying to socialize them that you too can have a television network. But that's the farthest thing from their thoughts and interests and potential. They don't see the link that I see. So that's been very challenging,
mm-hmm,
to kind of socialize them, to make it think that television producing is just like organizing a ball tournament, right?
Mm-hmm.
It takes the same amount of, you know, you got to raise the money to make it happen, and you need participation. You need, you know, it's kind of the same thing. So I've kind of been spending years trying to educate or socialize my own Indigenous people to television, and it's kind of worked. You know, even though that would not have been my first choice, TV, radio was my first choice.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's an oral medium. It's much like, it's how we carry our culture and language and ceremonial life is all oral. It's not written down. So I thought that radio was an extension of our oral culture.
Mm-hmm.
And also radio is the most honest medium we have, you know, when you look at it that way. because you create the images in your imagination when I speak as a listener. And with television, they supply all the imagery for you, so it simply puts your mind into beta, which means you just become a receiver of information. Hence why we have such a successful presidency.
Well, and I forgot at the beginning to talk about where you're from. You're from the Six Nations Reserve in Ontario. That's where you originally are from. You are far from there these days. Now you're in Santa Fe, New Mexico, right?
Yes.
How did that happen? When you were in California for acting for a while, did you live there?
I never really played Los Angeles much.
Okay. I think the band, the Troublemakers, which your band is Gary Farmer and the Troublemakers, and I think I read that you started in California, is that right?
Yeah, I started on a small reservation just east of Oceanside, California. There's a La Jolla Indian Res. They're mountain Indians up there. And there was a very famous performance artist named James Luna, came from that community. He's the one that attracted me to this place. And I used to go up there. He's like a brother. But he just passed away this year.
Sorry to hear that.
But I'm just happened to be going back to that community to play music like in 2 weeks. So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, bringing me back for a celebration in my mind for his life. He was a wonderful thinker and performance artist, yeah.
Wonderful. And so now you're in Santa Fe, and the band's been around for a while.
Yeah, I started back in 2005.
Was music something you were always doing along the way, or did you?
Yes, I was always a player, mostly trying to crack people's stage with my harmonica playing. I used to say, do you mind if I wreck a few of your songs? And I still say that, actually. But, yeah, I've always been a harmonica player right from when I left my home.
Oh, okay.
As a child.
It's a nice portable instrument.
It is, but it's expensive. And, of course, to cover all the keys, I don't play a chromatic. I play a straight harp with the keys having to change every time they change.
Oh, okay. So you have to have something to carry all those harmonicas around.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I got it down to a small case.
Nice, nice. And the band tours a couple times a year, I think?
Yeah, we always play the spring and fall. See if we have any. Well, we always have new music, whether we actually produce it to sell it or not is another thing. It's always challenging. It's easier now. And there's so many more tools to cheat so well. But we try to produce, always have new material.
I think you're working on something right now, right?
Yeah, I have like 6 new songs, which are great, none of which are produced, but we play them live. So that's what we do. We play new material live for a while, and then we record it. Because the song, it'll grow, or things will change with it, or we'll find something new. It's great. I love it, the process of songwriting. I've become very at ease with it. It's very comforting. And I can express myself in a bastardized kind of way.
Have you done other kinds of writing? I know you were in media, and have you done other kinds of...
Yeah, I should write a play. I've been meaning to write a play for a number of years, and will do it soon. I'm trying to write an autobiography as well, because I had... And still have so much to say about how we ended up in this place, at this time. And also, I think it's important for Native Americans to have some personal histories to reflect on. I don't think we have enough of those published.
Yeah, a lot of what you were talking about was that, your peers weren't thinking about that they could do TV or something like that. It's not having that representation, and you've kind of blazed a trail in some areas for that, which is nice.
I also in public radio, which I, have so much belief in. There was a point when, especially when the California tribes got legalized, I think they call it Bill 1A. They got more power for economics out of casino management and ownership. At that time, we could have taken California by public radio, except for downtown L.A., downtown San Francisco. And I really kind of pressured the tribes to kind of buy in. I think there was about 160 of them. And I think I got 15 of them who really wanted to support. So it's such, I think radio, I think if Aboriginal people were able to produce a public radio system, just small signals everywhere where there's native people, we could almost network it into a full service station. And if you look at Central and South America, I thought, well, this is how we tie the eagle and the condor together. Because my argument is that without native broadcasting, not that even when they get on the air that they carry a natural law editorial policy, but I thought that's what we could do, that we could do all the stories that primary broadcasters won't do, mm-hmm. whether they're private or public. They're both kind of in the same boat with the needs for support and money to come from corporate sponsorship. And the corporations are never willing to deal with certain subjects like nuclear proliferation or nuclear power and its impact on citizenry. So the hard stories never seem to get done. They don't protect us from pollution. They create the pollution. It took me years to figure out, oh, the Ministry of Environment actually acknowledges pollution and supports it. You know, they support the damming of rivers. They support the damaging of lakes and waterways with chemicals from pulp and paper, you name it. So I always thought we need a system where they're working for on behalf of us mm-hmm. as human beings, you know. So that's what I think is still lacking in the overall dynamic of the spectrum of radio. But for years, I fought CBC. They would say, oh, you're a waste of spectrum. Mm. You know, here's a public broadcaster telling me that. You know, like, that was it was an interesting battle. That's why I'm not in Canada.
the radio, because of the radio?
Well, just the country itself is, you know, they're always, you know, I listened to CBC a lot in my life, and they were so anti-American, they would just take shots wherever they could. Because of the war machine, and God bless them, but they're, I mean, that's why they pay so much tax, is to have that same protection that I guess we do from the war machine. They've always benefit from it, and all the corporations, 70% of the corporations in Canada are American, so they're kind of bought out.
Mm, I didn't realize that. Well, we're going to hear a song from your most recent Gary Farmer and the Troublemakers album. And I think you said number one here, which is What You Gonna Do? Anything you want to say about that one before we play it?
I never know what to say.
All right. It is Gary Farmer and the Troublemakers. Here's What You Gonna Do.
What you gonna do when the lights go out? People change, time runs out. What you gonna do when the stars don't shine, moon don't rise, sun don't set? What you gonna do when it's all a mess and nothing seems right to me? And nothing seems right. Thank you. said and done. It's all code red, having fun. What you gonna do when you got no job? Chaos all around, nothing seems right. What you gonna do when it all falls down and nothing seems right to me?
Gary Farmer and the Troublemakers, What You Gonna Do? That is from their Road Songs album. Is that your most recent one?
Yeah, the most recent published material, yes.
Okay. I was curious about, I saw an interview when you were talking about how you're kind of moving more in a rock direction, but you started sort of as a blueser, more bluesy band, is that right?
Well, I was fascinated by the history of the blues.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm 4 of 6 nations. In fact, I had to get my blood quantum letter for the U.S. Social Security system to prove that why I can live and work here is based on this treaty from 1794 called the Jay Treaty. And we as Native Americans, my way, which is Niagara Falls Buffalo people, which are mostly Haudenosaunee or Iroquoian people. We parade across the border from the U.S. side to the Canadian side 1 year to celebrate, and then we have a big day-long celebration. And then the next year we'll parade from the Canadian side to the American side to celebrate our Jay Treaty rights, which allows me to live and work and retire and earn money here. And so it's a hard sell, Social Security right now. Because it's an old treaty, and it's just a small part of the overall bigger treaty itself. So it's just one part of it. But so celebrating that, I forgot what the question was.
We were talking about the blues, and were talking about your heritage.
So yeah, I'm Tuscarora, Cayuga, Mohawk, and also Oneida. So I'm 4 of the 6. I'm only not Onondaga and Seneca. And you follow your mom, your mother's clan. So I'm a Wolf Clan member of the Cayuga Nation. And I studied my Cayuga language. That's what I spoke earlier. So as an adult immersion. And there's a lot of immersing people in our languages. Well, Mohawk and Cayuga are the strongest. Onondaga is starting to catch up. And Tuscarora is in trouble. Anyway, the Tuscaroras joined. Originally, we were only 5 nations, and the Tuscaroras came up around 1712 from the very region where slavery came into the country. So the Tuscaroras were in the fields when the black slaves came. And obviously, we didn't make very good slaves, so they went elsewhere to find them. And it was our crop, corn, which allowed Europeans to enslave Africa. Because they didn't have a grain that could keep them alive that long. They only had oats and barley, and it would rot on that journey. So it wasn't until an Indian crop allowed Europeans to enslave Africa.
Wow, that's interesting.
And it changed the economy of the whole world, because oats and barley, you plant one, you get 6 or 8 seeds. With corn, you plant one, you get potentially 270 for one seed, 270 seeds. So it revolutionized the economics of both Central and China. Corn was in China within 5 years. So this amazing history of transference of information, of seeds, of, you know, there was Mayans in northern Georgia. They just found a community of Mayans. I always wonder how we got corn, because, you know, the corn was developed from a grass in Maya. So finding out all that story and the history of our relations. So Washington was warring on the Tuscaroras for 10 years. They warred on them. Finally, they came north to us and joined the Confederacy. That's how we became 6. The Tuscaroras joined us. And we would have been nine had it not been interrupted by the War of 1812 and Tecumseh's efforts to try and preserve that whole central region for Native America, his history during early 1800s. So those stories just led me to believe that, my God, the blues really came from a fusion of those two cultures and jazz and American music, but were never credited as Native Americans. And more so since this film, you know, The Indians Rocked the World, The Rumble.
Oh, right, yeah.
Big documentary, mm-hmm. which kind of explores that reality a bit and tries to introduce some ideas into all of that music and how it all came to be. So that's where I originally started off as a blues artist. I felt, and in my community, all the artists before me were generally blues artists or the influence of country music on people generally, but for the most part, it's blues that is based in my region.
Mm-hmm.
So I just pursued that and explored it mm-hmm. for a long time. But one of the artists I'm involved with now is a younger person from my community. His name's Derek Miller, very prolific guitar player. And he's probably the one that's taken me more pop and rock.
Oh, okay.
Because he's partnered in the band for the last 4 years. So we've explored a lot of pop music, which is a lot of fun on the road. And so it's been interesting.
Nice. Well, we're going to hear one more song from the album before we have to let you go. It's Gary Farmer and the Troublemakers from their Road Songs album. This is Make a Change.
Well, it's day for night, bebopping across the land. You know, it's shake your rattle. It's time to move on with the show. You know, you gotta move it, shake it. You gotta turn it all around. It's time to boogie. Time to boogie all night long. You gotta make a change. Make the change. You know, it's time. Gotta work together. Gotta make the change. Gotta work together. Everyone is one. You know, you gotta reach out to your neighbor down the south. We gotta make a balance all around. You know, one person the same as the next. Hey, no matter how much money you got, gotta make a change. Across the land, you know it's a shake your rattle. It's time to move on with the show. You know you gotta move it, shake it. You gotta turn it all around. It's time to boogie. Time to boogie all night long. Change.
That's Gary Farmer and the Troublemakers from that Road Songs album. Well, Gary, I feel like we could keep you here all day and we'd learn a ton of stuff. You have so many interesting things to talk about, but we got to let you go so you can do some of those some of that talking in public that you're going to be doing while you're here. You're going to be doing a talk here at UMD, The Significance of Native Media for Both Native and Non-Native Audiences. So that's coming up. And then the 20th anniversary of Smoke Signals. And have you been doing many of those appearances around Smoke Signals?
Yeah, oddly enough, we had a reunion down in Pechanga, which is Southern California, just recently. A lot of the cast was there and the director was there. That was interesting. I see the director a lot. He's in Santa Fe as well. And we're continuing to develop things. We started a film festival there called the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival. So all you Minnesotans, please submit your work there. Mention my name, you get a free entry.
Nice. That's a good
job. It's a hot tip. There you go. $35, $40 right there.
Nice. Well, thank you so much, Gary. So, actor and media person, media mogul. Can I call you a media mogul, Gary?
They used to call me that. I didn't mind it, but my mogulism is certainly retired. But I'm still a big supporter, and I still speak on the issue mm-hmm. as often as I can.
And also musician, Gary Farmer. And maybe you can bring the Troublemakers here to Duluth sometime.
That'd be great.
I think they'd be, I think a lot of people would like that.
Yes, I'd love to.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.